A number of years ago, in fact, 18 years ago, we had begun a congregation of Hispanics in Ola, and we were needing a preacher. And so I heard about a young man from Harding University who was going through the preaching school at Harding, whose name was Reese Ortiz. And I went and asked him if he'd come help us, and he drove over every Sunday. Every Sunday, he would drive back and forth. Never would take any pay, didn't want anything. He just wanted to help. Got a beautiful wife named Karina, and now they have three children, and two of them are basically grown. In fact, they're students at Harding University. Their oldest son, Arish Jr., 18 years ago, was just an infant. I mean, I call him an infant. I guess he was about 2 years old. He's 21 now. He's 21 and a senior at Harding University, and he was going home Friday evening. He was going home to Ola, and in Pottsville, he went to sleep at the wheel. He hit an 18-wheeler. He lost a lot of blood. It severed his left arm, and that had to be amputated below the elbow. Both legs are broken. Surgery will be done on one of those legs. I believe Arish told me one of those legs will be, surgery will be done tomorrow. And then if things go well, then maybe the next day or the day following on the other leg. But he has a long recovery, and his name is Arish Ortiz Jr., and I'd like for you to please pray for that family. Just great people. And this is a really tough time for them, but they really have a positive attitude, and especially Arish. In fact, I even got to talk to him yesterday. Please keep them in your prayers. Georgia Smith is sick. I see Jade is with us and the boys, but Georgia is sick, and so Amy's not able to be with us, and we need to remember them. There is an ice cream fellowship going to be held at the home of Bob on September the 17th, right, for the 3rd through 6th graders and their families, There's a sign-up sheet out in the on the table in the foyer. If you're one of those families and you know how to make homemade ice cream, we need you to sign up, tell us how many are coming so we know how much of everything that we need. But if you can make ice cream, homemade ice cream, you kind of need to write that down for us so that we know that we've got all of that covered. And that's September the 17th, and that's not in your bulletin yet. So the list is out there, though, for you to sign up. I want to read to you a short report I received. These are some pictures that he sent me. And we handle these reports this way because if we put them on any form of social media like Facebook or anything like that, it could potentially cause him a great deal of trouble. Brother Vladimir and his wife Musa are, of course, citizens of Russia and hold dual citizenship. They are also citizens of the United States, but they live in Russia, and this is the report received yesterday. Dear brothers and sisters at the Mars Hill Church of Christ, Musa and I have just returned from the village of forest workers called Poljana, where we were giving out Bibles. We have an advertisement banner, Bibles for Free, for everyone to see. A 27-year-old man was driving by when he saw our banner. He stopped his car and asked a lot of questions, including some very detailed questions. Together, we read several verses from the New Testament and then gave him a Bible, and he was very, very thankful. As he was leaving, he said that under the influence of propaganda, he had been looking for Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, to read. Instead, God sent me you with a Bible. Thank you, were his last words as he left. When we hear such confessions, we don't even want to think about the government bans and persecution for spreading the gospel. Although the danger is very real. For example, mass media announced that on May 31st, 2016, a 21-year-old man was sentenced for 1 year, 3 months under Article 282 of the Criminal Code of Russia, of the Russian Federation, for posting the pictures of baptism with Russian Orthodox posts on a social network called In Contact. We also could find ourselves in a similar situation. However, we do not try to take into account all precautionary measures. We only preach the Gospels on our own territory, and we use a flying tactic of spreading the Gospel and giving out Bibles by staying in one spot for only an hour and a half to 2 hours maximum. Then we change locations and move to a different place. In addition to our regular villages and small towns that we go to spread the Gospel, we've added to our route the village of forest workers called Poljana, Potsneva, and another town that I couldn't begin to pronounce, because there are few police there. We've never had such a warm summer in the Komi Republic like this summer. It's been nice and warm for the past 8 weeks. As I've written in my previous letter, we go to the city parks and sing Christian hymns there. God has blessed us with the opportunity to sing in the fresh air in the yard of Church of Christ in one of the cities there. The yard there is fenced and it's surrounded by apartment buildings. The people who walk by there and the residents of all the apartment buildings listen to us sing. Everyone seems to like it. There's a new direction at the Children's Center. We're trying again to build a good relationship with the new director. Please pray for the director. Now we are collecting school supplies for the new school year, which will start on September the 1st for each student at the Christian shelter. May God bless them. We're coming to the USA on October 2nd, and we will stay with you until December the 6th. Please include us in all your work plans during this period of time that we will be with you. Thank you again so much. With love in our Lord, Vladimir and Musa. And so they'll be here shortly, and we'll look forward to them being with us for an extended period of time. I remind you, we have a goal day of 250. Y'all do remember that, don't you? 250 on October the 30th. We're looking forward to that. We can do it. We can do it. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about souls. That's what we're talking about. It's not about having 250. It's about reaching out to other people with the message of the Gospel. And so we challenge ourselves in ways like this. You see, there's not that, you know, growing a congregation, growing a work in the Lord. It's not rocket science, folks. It's really not rocket science. There are just some things that absolutely have to happen. They absolutely have to take place. As I was thinking about those kind of things over the last few weeks, I was reminded of this passage of Scripture found in 2 Kings chapter 6. Now that's where we're headed, but I want to start with you in the second chapter. In the second chapter, the prophet Elijah, it has come time that God has decided that he's going to take Elijah up in a whirlwind, going to take him from this earth up in a whirlwind. Elisha has had what I'm going to call a school of prophets. In fact, this school of prophets wasn't just located in one place. There seems to be have been a group of these student prophets in Gilgal. There seems to be a group of these student prophets in Bethel. There seems to be another group of these prophets in some other places around. We're going to read a little bit about this in the sixth chapter, but let me show you something in the second chapter, beginning. As we kind of introduce to this, it's time for Elijah to be born up into a whirlwind. And it says in verse number 2, "And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. When they get to Bethel, it says in verse number 3, and the sons of the prophets were at Bethel." The sons of the prophets. You might think of these as the students of the prophet. This little school that he's got there. Going on at Bethel, this school, these sons of the prophets were at Bethel, and they came forth to see Elisha. And they said to Elisha, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take the master away from your head today?" And Elisha said, "I know it. Hold your peace. Be quiet." So Elisha and Elijah, they go down to Bethel. And now at Bethel, Elijah is going to say to Elisha, "You stay here. The Lord has told me to go to Jericho." That's the next place. Elisha does the same thing. As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I'm not leaving you today. I'm not leaving you. And so he goes down to Jericho with him. And in verse number 5, "And the sons of the prophets were at Jericho." So we got another group of these prophets, and they're at Jericho. And they come out to see Elisha, and they say the same thing to him. "Do you know that the Lord is going to remove your master from thy head today?" And Elisha says, "Yes, I know. You hold your peace. You be quiet about this." Verse number 7 says that there were 70 of the prophets, 50 of the sons of the prophets that went with them to the Jordan. Elisha and Elijah go out to the Jordan River. They're going to cross that Jordan River, just the two of them. But this is a pretty good, these are a pretty good group of men. There's at least 50 of them at these places. Elisha and Elijah cross the Jordan. They go off into the wilderness. Elijah is carried up into the world, into a whirlwind. Elisha says, "Oh, my father, my father." He looks around and there's Elijah's mantle. He picks up Elijah's mantle. He carries it back, comes to the Jordan River, slaps the water with that mantle. The Jordan River divides. He walks across on dry grounds. These 50 sons of the prophets or students of the prophets see that happen. And that's an indication to them that the spirit of Elijah has been now placed on Elisha. And so they come to Elisha. And Elisha begins teaching in these schools of the prophets. If you look over in chapter 4, now Elijah is gone and Elisha is the man on the scene. In verse number 38, chapter 4, verse number 38, "And Elisha came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth or a famine, a drought in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him." So now Elisha is the teacher for these schools of the prophets. And Elisha is the man who is in charge. That brings us to chapter 6, verse number 1. It's as he teaches, as Elisha teaches in one of these schools of the prophets, that these things take place, which give us some insight into building the kingdom and into accomplishing any goal you want to accomplish. Whatever it is, it all takes the same thing. When it comes to building a congregation, when it comes to building the kingdom, you're not going to be able to escape these things. This is what it's going to take. It's going to take a vision. It's going to take vision. The wise man says in Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, people perish." Where there is no vision, nothing's going to be accomplished. If you can't dream it, you can't do it. You got to dream it. There's got to be a vision. So read with me now. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Just a few verses here. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. The place where we're at here, it's too small for us. Let us go and pray thee unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam." Let's go to Jordan and let every man cut for himself a beam. "And let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And Elisha answered unto them, "Go ye." And one said to Elisha, I'm in verse 3, and one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go up with thy servants And he, Elisha, answered, I'll go. So he went up with them, and they came to Jordan, and they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God, that's Elisha, said, Where did it fall? He showed him the place, and Elisha cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. So he put out his hand, and he took it. There are some things in here that just have to be. They just have to take place if you're going to do anything. And the first of those, as we said, has got to be a vision. In verse number 1, someone dreamed. Someone of these students said, This place where we're at, it's too small for us. We need something bigger. And he dreamed a dream. You know, vision makes all the difference in the world. It matters how you see things. If you see things one way, you'll react that way. If you see things in another way, you'll react that way. I heard about two salesmen, shoe salesmen, who were sent to Africa by the company that they worked for. Same company. When they got there, no one there had shoes. The first salesman sent a message back to the home office of the company back in the States. Bring me home. No one here wears shoes. The second salesman sent a message back to the home office in the States. Send me more shoes. No one here wears shoes. Folks, both of these guys saw the same thing. But one saw a problem. The other saw the potential. It's all determined by how you look at things and how you see things. Hey, this place here is too small for us. That's a problem. Hey, this place is too small for us. Let's build. Let's grow. Let's do something. There has to be a vision. Someone has to be able to see the potential, to see the possibilities. And so it begins with a vision. But in order for anything to be accomplished, someone has to see it as an urgent vision. It doesn't just need to be done. It needs to be done, and it needs to be done right now. Stop talking about what we're going to do out there in the future. Oh, 10 years from now. Oh, 20 years from now. Oh, 30 years from now. Lift up your eyes, Jesus said. Look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. Stop talking about 3 or 4 months down the road. Do it now. It's an urgent vision. Look at verse number 1 again. The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now. That's King James Version. Your version may say, see, look, this place is too small. But the idea is behold right now. Something needs to be done now. Instead of just seeing a situation and seeing it as a problem, what if you began to address that problem? Instead of seeing it as a problem, what if you saw it as potential? And you began to address that as a potential. This can be done. We need to be doing this. This is something we can do. This is something we should do. This is something we must do. I grew up in the house of a man who said if it's something that's that is right, it needs to be done right. And if it's something that's right and it needs to be done right, it needs to be done right now. Stop talking about doing it out there in the future. Get after it. Let's go. Let's get this done. Anything, growing a congregation,
growing the work of the Lord, growing some ministry. If it's going to happen, there's going to have to be someone with a vision, someone who sees what can take place, someone who can see what can happen. And there's got to be someone who sees it as an urgent vision. It's got to be done, and it's got to be done now. Let's don't talk about maybe someday. Let's talk about doing it and doing it now. Doing it now. I've sat in enough meetings, sat in enough board meetings, elders, deacons, meetings, and everything else. You talk about it this month, you talk about it next month, talk about it the next month, and a year and a half from now, you're still talking about it. If it needs to be done, do it. Do it. Get on with it. Get to work with it. If you don't, hey, I'll move my attention someplace else. I'll get into something else. It's got to be urgent with us. We've got to be moving. We've got to be aggressive. There must be a plan. Look at verse number 2. They come up with a plan. Hey, this place where we're at, it's too small for us. Verse number 2. Let us go, we pray thee. Let us go unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam. Here's the plan. Let's go, let us go to Jordan, every one of us. Every one of us, and let's every man make for himself a beam. Every one of us, not two or three of us, not four or five of us, but every one of us. Folks, if that is ever needed in the Lord's church, it is needed in our day and age. It's just a fact, folks. It's just a fact that 90% of any congregation you want to go to, 90% of the contribution is given by 10% of the members. Every one of us need to be giving. Every one of us need to be involved in that. The work that is done by basically 3% of the membership. We don't need to be proud of that. We need to be ashamed of ourselves. Hey, we all need to be involved. We all need to be active and involved in the work of the Lord's church. There's got to be a plan. What's the plan? Hey, here's the one we're working on. 250 on October the 30th. 250. You got the time. You got the time. It's not like we're asking you to do it by next week. You got the time. But you got to start talking about it now. You got to start preparing for it now. Well, how are we going to feed that many? Deacons will take care of that. That's deacons' work. Deacons will take care of that. You worry about getting here. You let those deacons worry about how you're going to feed them and where you're going to sit them. You just get them here. Every one of us gets ourselves involved. Let each of us go down to Jordan and cut for himself a beam. I'm going to bring one. How about you? I'm going to bring one. How about you? Ah, that's what they're doing. They're having a goal day. They're having this. They're having that. Listen, if you're a member of this congregation, we're having it. Amen? We're having this. We're doing this. It's not rocket science, folks. This is what it takes. If you want the Lord's work to grow, there's got to be a vision. You got to see it as urgent. And you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. These guys had a plan. They didn't just come and say, hey, this place is too small. Oh, that's a problem, isn't it? Somebody ought to do something about that. No, they came with a plan. They came with a plan. Again, I grew up in the house of a man who said, if you want your way, go with a plan. Because most of the time, the rest of them don't have one. You're going to get your way. Go with the plan. Go with the plan. We're going to put together this plan. If you're going to work and it's going to grow, then you go with a plan. That spirit must be, and that there must be a contagious spirit where everybody sees the possibilities. Everybody is involved in this. Again, look at verse number 3. Look at verse 3. And one said to Elisha, this is the King James Version,
Be content. Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. He's asking him to go with them. And Elisha says, I'll go. He's caught the spirit of this thing. He's on board with this. Hey, we're all ready to do it. Elisha, will you come do it with us? Come on, come get involved in this with us. And Elisha says, I'm going too. I'm going too. And that's the way it's got to be with us. If you're going to grow, if you're going to grow a congregation, if you're going to grow a work, someone's got to have the vision. Someone's got to see it as an urgent vision. Someone's got to come up with the plan. And then somehow that person or persons has got to somehow get everybody else to kind of get on board in order to make these things happen. There's got to be a contagious spirit. I wish I could put it in you. I really do. I wish I could put it in you. But I can't. It's all dependent on you. It's all dependent on you. You're gonna decide for yourself. You're going to decide for yourself. Hey, you know what? I'm going to help us meet that goal. I'm going to do my part. But you make the decision. You make the determination. But every one of us has that choice. But I'm going to tell you what's needed. A contagious spirit is needed. Where everyone says, won't that be great? Won't that be wonderful? Think of how many people could be affected by just an invitation from us to come be with us and help us reach 250. Contagious spirit. Folks, doesn't make any difference what it is. It takes this, and there must be work. I know that's a four-letter word. I know most of us have gotten in the habit of trying to avoid that word at all expense. Avoid that word. But there must be W-O-R-K. Listen, churches don't grow by chance. Churches grow by work. By work. Where every member is involved in the W-O-R-K. These guys understood that. Look at verse number 4. It says, So he went with them. Elisha went with them. And they, when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. What are they doing? They're working the plan, aren't they? What was the plan? The plan was, let each of us go down to Jordan and each man make for himself a beam. What are they doing? They're working the plan. But it takes work. Every one of us have to be about the work. Are you going to cut your beam? Are you going to cut your beam? Are you just going to enjoy the blessings that of everybody else's work? That's what's happening too often. Too often, instead of each one of us getting in there and pulling our own weight, we sit back, we do very little or nothing, and we reap the benefits of someone else's hard W-O-R-K. If it's going to happen, folks, if it's going to happen, someone has to dream. Someone has to dream. Yeah, I'm a dreamer. I am. I catch criticism for it. I do. Beverly really appreciates it. She says, and in fact, just this weekend, we were talking about this very thing. And I told her, I said, Bev, if you're going to dream, you might as well dream big. Would you agree? If you're going to dream, you might as well dream big. What's the worst thing that can happen? You can fail. Hey, what's going to happen if you don't try? You're going to fail. You say, well, not me. I didn't try. You failed. You failed because you didn't dream. If you're going to dream, dream big. Dream big. You might as well dream big. You may not hit it. You may not hit it. But if you shoot for the moon, you'll reach higher than you ever would have reached had you never shot for the moon. Yeah, I'm a dreamer. I'm not ashamed of it. I dream about things. I dream and I see possibilities and potential. There needs to be a Christian school in this community, folks. There needs to be a Christian school in this community. Somebody needs to dream. Somebody needs to dream. If you're going to have a dream, you've got to have a plan. If you're going to have a plan, you're going to have to work that plan. And hopefully, it'll catch. And there'll be a contagious spirit. When a couple of us began to dream about a summer camp for kids in our location, do you think, just as we began to talk, do you think most people said, it can be done or it can't be done? What would you think? The vast majority said it can't be done. David, you're fixing to spend spiritual capital. You're going to fail on that. That's going to fail. So what? If you don't try, it's going to fail. That's an absolute fact. But people began to catch hold of it. We're not asking for a lot from any one person. We're asking for a little bit from a whole bunch of people. We can't even tell we gave it out of the monies that God has provided for us. And not any of us gone without a meal or anything else. It can happen. It can happen. But you gotta work. You gotta work. The problem with work is a lot of us want to get in on the front end like we're gonna be in there for the long haul. We want to get in on the front end, but after a while, you can't find them. Milton Webb said, they got you back, David. They just got it so far back there you can't see them. That's the way it happens most time. That's the way it happens. But you got to work, and you got to just stay after it. Stay after it. Just stay after it. Just a little bit every day. Just a little bit every day. Just stay after it. Stay after it. Stay after it. You know, if you'll do just a little bit, Monday, Carol, if you just lay a little rock on that entrance out there and you'll lay a little bit more on Tuesday, but Friday, you'll have one side of that done. Or Saturday. Saturday, you'll have one side of that rock done. You'll drive out there and see it. She's a pretty good rock layer. I hope they stay on there now. They will. They will. But you just work a little bit every day. Just work on it a little bit every day. At the end of the week, you see what you got done. But it takes work, folks. It takes work. These guys realized it. These guys realized that we're not going to have that unless we work for it. We got to work. We got to work. And every one of us has work to do. And be thankful for it. Because God gave you the health. He gave you the opportunity to work. What a great privilege that is. What a great privilege that is. And there must be commitment. I'm going to let you read the rest of this, but you know this story, don't you? You've told it to your children. Surely you've told it to your grandchildren. About a time when these guys were cutting these beams and an axe head came off and fell in the river. In the Jordan River. The man said to the prophet, "Oh no! That axe was borrowed." And the prophet said, "Well, where did it fall?" "Well, it fell in right there." And the prophet just cut him a limb, threw it in the water, and an iron axe head floated to the top. He said, "Go ahead and get it." And the man just reached out his hand, took the axe head. The point I want to draw from that is this, folks. As you work, there are going to be challenges. Not everything's going to go just like you think it's going to go. And if the first time you faced with a difficulty, a challenge, you quit, the work will never get done. What you got to do is you just got to work through those things. Work through those challenges. Hey, folks, y'all know I'm 62 years old. When I was 18, those steps right there were nothing. At 62, they're a challenge. But you know what? Every step carries you just one step higher, doesn't it? So you say, well, I got to get up there. I got to get up there. Hey, Bev, would you help me up there? Now I got her do it. I got her almost trained, folks. I got her almost trained to help me get out of my recliner. Almost. She hadn't done it yet, but I'm working on it. Every time she walks by, would you help me get up? Would you help me get up? But you know what? We got to get up, don't we? We got to get up. And every step, we can either see them as obstacles or we can see them as an opportunity to climb higher than we ever were before. Here's a man, lost his accent. Oh my, oh my, I knew I shouldn't have come down here to the Jordan River. I knew I shouldn't have signed on for this. I done lost the accent, and not only that, it was a borrowed axe. Hey, what we got to remember, folks, is that God's working for us and working with us. See, we're not in this work by ourselves. We're not in this alone. You look back at the end of months and weeks and efforts, and you look back and you say, man, I didn't realize we had accomplished so much. I wonder how we got that done. And you have to give God the credit, because He was on our side all along. He was on our side. And He'll take care of the obstacles if we'll just do the work. If we'll just do the work. And so I remind you, 250. That's nothing. That's not even each one of us bringing one, Roger. That's not even each one of us bringing one. That's not you bringing one, me bringing one, Toby brings one. You bring one. Sometimers. It's turning into all timers someday. But right now it's just sometimers. But hey, it's each one of us. Just if each one of us brought one, you know what? Next Sunday we'd have double this number, wouldn't we? Isn't that how you do it? We'd have double this number. Just each one bringing one. That's not even each one of us bringing one. See, we're leaving out those we know we can't count on, I guess. That's your preacher not having much vision. 250. We can do it. It's going to be a great weekend for us, but every one of us goes to work. So even now, start talking about it. Talk positively about the church. Oh, things are going great. You need to be there. You need to come experience it. Especially come be with us on October the 30th. The auditorium's going to be jam-packed. We don't know what the deacons are going to do with all those people. That's their business. I'm just bringing them. I'm just bringing them. It'll all work. It'll all work. For anything, folks, though, anything, whether it be this or anything else, in order for anything to be accomplished, someone has to have a dream. Someone has to have a dream. And someone has to think that that dream is the most important dream that ever was. That's the reason Bob's been running around with me to these congregations where I'm being allowed to speak on Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights and Monday nights, and he's been chauffeuring me around. And when I go, it's not uncommon for me to tell him, I'm glad you assigned me this topic because I think it's the most important topic that could ever be spoke on. And I truly believe that. If I didn't, I'd stay home. I got the best one. Someone's got to think that's the greatest thing imaginable. We need to do this. This is an urgent vision. We got to do it. We got to do it now. We got to have a plan. We got to have a plan. That plan has to be caught by all of us. We got to have a contagious spirit. And then we got to work. We got to work that plan. Work that plan. And be committed to seeing it through to the very end. I'm not going to start and then back off. I'm not going to start and then slow up. I'm committed, and I'm committed to seeing it through. To seeing it through. If you have that kind of attitude, I don't care what you go into, folks. You'll be successful at it. You'll be successful. We've not talked this morning about becoming a Christian, but we've been studying with some of you. Some of you are ready to become Christians now. We want to give you the opportunity in a special way by inviting you to become a Christian this morning. If you're here, you're ready to become a child of God in the way that God has laid out in His Word. We're ready to assist you. If you're here, you're a Christian, but you have those needs in your life, which if your brothers and sisters knew about them, we could help you with them. That's what we're here for. If you stand in need of the invitation in any way, let us know, but come to the front and do that now as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread.